You see, I love to be upgraded. That was wonderful. I'm so glad. And when I think about that, I think, you know, that's exactly what Jesus did. When he came to the earth, he offered us an upgrade. No, not just a little one. He upgraded us. He offers up us an upgrade from death to life, from hell to eternity, from guilty as charged to bang, paid in full. What do you think about that upgrade?
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Do you ever look in the mirror and wonder what life is all about? Is this all there is to it? There's got to be more. Well, today, Pastor Wayne will show us that God didn't create us to live a mediocre life. Our best days may be just around the corner. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, A Greater Life.
Today, I want to talk to you about a greater life. You see, one touch from God and he can catapult you into a favored season. God didn't create you to have a mediocre life. God didn't create you to have small dreams and have a below average relationships and a second-rate faith. God knows that your best days still lie ahead of you. There's yet so much potential in you that is yet to be released, and there's one person that has the key, the one who created that to be placed within you. But he's going to be the one who'll guide it out. But he's going to have to guide you because you can't do it alone. You have so much potential. You say, well, what's potential? Potential is everything that you can be, but you haven't become that yet. Potential is everything that you can do, but you haven't done that yet. Potential is everywhere you can go, but you haven't gone there yet. That lies within you in potential form. And to bring that to pass is so incredibly important to God that he is going to make a personal trip here to earth to help you. It's that important. I'll prove it to you. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, here's the scripture, and it's on the board. Would you read it with me? Go. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That Greek word, the word abundantly is a Greek word, perissos, which actually means greater. I have come that you might have life and that you would have a greater life than what you could have ever imagined. And the three first words, I have come. You know what God is saying? This is so important to me that you achieve all that I have in store for you, that I'm going to come personally to guide you through this. Now, some of you might say, well, Wayne, you don't know the mess I'm in. I just had a bad diagnosis on my health condition, or my job doesn't pay enough, or my marriage is flat, or I'm flunking class. Listen carefully. You might be in a bad place right now. You might be in a barren place. That might be where you are, but it is not who you are. Amen to that. It might be where you are, but it is not who you are. You're a child of the King. You're someone that the Redeemer loves so much that he came to give his life so that you will have all that he has. He traded his life to give you life. He took your sins and mine upon him so that we might live. Jesus personally came to lift us out. Now you might say, but you don't know where I am. There's no way I can get out of where I am. No, Jesus came to give you enough horsepower to get you out of the rut. That's why the scripture says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You see, God loves you and me so much, and the potential within us is so important to him to be realized that he'll walk us right through. And even when we come, we skid to a stop in a valley, the Lord says, listen very carefully. You might be in a valley. It's okay. I've been there too. It's okay, so long as you don't settle there. I'm going to help you walk right through that. It's sort of like this. Some years ago when I started off in ministry, I was flying back from the mainland back home, and I was on standby, so I was hoping that they would call my name because the flight was quite full. Finally, they called my name, yes, and I picked up my bag and boarded the plane. They gave me a ticket, but I was put way in the back, and you know the last seats are like the middle seat between other people that you don't know. It's okay to sit in the middle if you know the people, but when you don't, worse yet, the two guys were oversized men that looked like construction workers, and the aroma was that they had a real hard day at work. And I sat between these two, and I thought, this will be a long ride. Just then, the male flight attendant, called steward, came back, and he had a ticket in his hand, and he looked over at me, and he said, are you Wayne Cordero? I said, yes. He said, just grab your bags and follow me. I thought, what have I done? So I grabbed my bags, and so I followed him. He's taking me out to the exit. And we got all the way to the exit, and he stopped, and he turned around. It was first class, and he said, could I upgrade you to first class? Would that be acceptable? And I looked, and there's this wide Cordovan leather seat and bubbling champagne. What do you think I said to him? You think I said, you know, I'm a pastor. You should give this to someone needier than me. No! I said, I will accept it. And by the way, when you come back, bring me another bubbly little thing. You see, I love to be upgraded. That was wonderful. I'm so glad. And when I think about that, I think, you know, that's exactly what Jesus did. When he came to the earth, he offered us an upgrade. No, not just a little one. He upgraded us. He offers up us an upgrade from death to life, from hell to eternity, from guilty as charged to bang, paid in full. What do you think about that upgrade? But just like that steward, I had to trust him enough to follow him. The same is true with Jesus. When he says, come follow me, I've got to trust him enough to pick up my bags and follow him. Take everything I got and follow him. I pray that if you've never made that decision to follow Jesus, that you will say, I'll take that. I receive that. When he says, follow me, my answer is yes, I'll receive that. Another scripture I want to bring to your attention, and it's up on the board. The Bible tells us this. Would you read it? Go. The path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter until the full of day. In other words, God created us for increase, not decrease, to expand, not to shrink, to improve, not to get worse. God's idea is that we will see the value that he has for us, that our lives will get better and better as we follow him. But before we go any further, we still have a choice to make. But a lot of us don't. You know why? Because the verse right before John 10:10 says this, right before it. I didn't give you the first part, but let me give it to you now. The scripture says this, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But you see, what's happening right now is the devil or the adversary of your soul will do everything he can to keep you from achieving what God has in store for you. I'll tell you why. Because it was at Calvary that Jesus defeated Satan, that he put to death that enmity between God and man. See, Jesus didn't come to bring another religion. He came to repair the relationship between God and his children. And so that we come to God through Christ. And in order to repair that breach, he defeated sin and the enemy. Well, Satan knows he was defeated at the cross, and he wants to get back. And you know what he's going to do? Because he can't get back at Christ, he's going to do it by getting back at Christ through his kids to keep you from going anywhere, to destroy your life. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He'd love it if our lives would be fully destroyed as Christians. And he's going to do everything he can to see if he can thwart us from achieving what God has in store for us. Well, you say, well, how does he do that? Here's his first line of strategy. It's called containment. You say, what's that? Containment is this. The devil knows he can't change what you've already accomplished. He can't push you into yesterday. So he's going to keep you from advancing anymore into tomorrow. To get you to settle for less. That you look at your condition, your environment, and you say, well, that's just how it is. I can't get out of this. So I'm just going to have to live with it. To get you to settle for less. Now, you have to remember, he's going to do everything he can to contain you. To settle for less. God has for you a bakery, but the devil says, why don't you take a few crumbs? Would that placate you? Just take a few crumbs. No, God has for you a bakery. God has for you healing. So take an aspirin. Would that be all right? Just take an aspirin. God has a great inheritance for you. And what the devil wants to do is give you just enough to numb you so you don't feel bad about not getting your inheritance. Just stay where you are. You can't get any further anyway. So settle for less. Now listen carefully. Each of us are going to go through valleys. Each of us are going to hit rock bottom. Being at the bottom is fine so long as you don't settle there. Don't get stuck there. Well, I can't get out. This is just how it is. Don't you sell yourself short. Remember, I have come. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Because God is saying, I'm going to walk you right through it. Don't you sell yourself short. But you don't know what happened. No, don't sell yourself short because I'm going to come and help you. I promise you. Most of us sell ourselves short. You know that? We just say, well, it's all this. I can't do that. So that's it. No. There's so much potential in you, and Jesus is going to come and help you. So that you will become everything that he created you to be. He looks and sees your future and a hope. And he says, you got it. This is for you. Well, no, this is, I can't. No. Let me tell you the story. First time I met him was in Hilo. He came to me after service. And he introduced himself and he said, I'm a marijuana grower. I said, wow, I've never met a marijuana grower before in church. I've met him outside of church, but not inside church. He said, well, I've got a crop. It's ready to be dried and then cut and harvested and cut up. And I've got a buyer with cash, $100,000. I said, $100,000 cash crop. Whew. He said, but I got a problem. I said, what's that? He said, I came to New Hope this morning and I became a Christian. I said, what? Yeah. He said, I got saved. I said, oh. And he says, I don't know what to do. I said, $100,000 crop. I thought in my mind, you could give that to the building fund, that. He said, and I don't know what else to do, because if I get rid of this, that's it. If I plow it under, if I round up everything and plow it under, he says, I'm finished, because this is all I've done for years since I moved here. That's all I grow. That's what I've been doing. And I don't know how to do anything else. I said, you're selling yourself short. God has something far greater for you. He said, no, Wayne, this is all I got. If I plow this under, I'm done. I said, no, you're selling yourself short. God always moves you from glory to glory. And if he's going to take you out of this valley, he's got something great for you. You got to trust him enough to follow him. He said, no, this is all I can do. I said, stop. You're selling yourself short. I said, think about it this way. You could start your own legitimate business. He said, what do you mean? I said, think about it this way. What do you have to do to get this stuff to market, right? You got to cut and dry the leaves, and then you got to separate it from the stems, and you got to put it in those baggies. You know what that's called? Packaging. And then you got to find people to buy your stuff, right? That's called marketing and distribution. And then you got to find the correct strands to grow it under certain grow lights. That's called research and development. And then you got to know how to fertilize it. When you start to germinate the seed and you just put it in the ground, it requires high nitrogen, right? And then right before it flowers, you got to increase the potassium content and potash, right? So that it grows and matures, so get the good THC content in it. Isn't that right? That's called product development. You say, Wayne, how do you know all these things? I researched for this sermon. Well, I want you to know he went back home, round up everything, and then he plowed it under with a tiller. And you know what he did? He changed that and he started growing vegetables, beautiful vegetable garden. And today, his tomatoes are the sweetest Big Island tomatoes you've ever smoked. Tasted. Ate. I'm just kidding. So you say, Wayne, how do I get a hold of God's best? Because I think I've been settling for less. Because I think I don't need God, and I settle for less, and I get crumbs. And then I live a mediocre life, and I know something's missing on the inside. It doesn't matter how much the world gives me, I know there's something missing on the inside. That's right, God has so much more for you. Don't sell yourself short. Don't get stuck down there in the bottom. Don't get stuck in the pits and say, well, God's deserted me. No, I have come that you might have life. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you fear no evil because I'm coming to walk right with you. Amen. That's how much I love you. That's how much I think you got in front of you. Your future is within you. You just have to let me help you bring it out. But you got to trust me enough to follow me. So Jesus is going to give us two parables to help us to see the value of the kingdom. And they're both in Matthew chapter 13, one verse apart. And the first is this, and it'll come up on the board, but let me just read it to you. He said this, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that's hidden in a field somewhere, which a man finds and covers it over, hides it again, and then from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has to buy that field because he knows how valuable that field is, even though others don't think it is." And he continues and he says, again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And when he finds one pearl of great value, he goes and sells everything he has to buy it." See, it's like someone who's looking for jewelry and he sees one that's like an amazing black pearl. And he realizes that people don't understand its value and he's going to get it. I'm going to do everything I can because I know once I have this, it's just going to be 100 times more than what I paid for it. That's like the kingdom. Or he says, let's say you're investing in land maybe over in the Midwest. And there's a farm that's for sale, maybe 50 acres. It's all just a dilapidated farmhouse. And you don't know if you've got enough, but you just say, hey, can I just look at it? So the guy says, yeah, sure, just go. So you amble around the property and you go through the creek bed and you come upon this crevice in a rock and you squeeze through it and it opens up into a cavernous cave that no one's ever discovered. And yet in it is a bunch of Civil War relics and cases of gold bullion that they must have confiscated from the Confederacy, and they stored it in there, and people left it. And you're the first one to find this. Well, when you know the treasure that's there, that's a million times more than what you're going to pay for this, you're going to sell everything you have to. But when you see the value of this land, you're going to go out and sell everything you can to buy this piece of property because you know the value. You'll sell your house, you'll sell your car, you'll sell your children to get that piece of property. And God is saying, likewise, the kingdom of God is an amazing investment. Please don't miss it. I remember when I was younger, Starbucks had its IPO, or initial public offering, and it was back in the early 90s, and it was $17 a share, and I'm a coffee addict. And so I love coffee, and I thought, wow, this is the first company that's going to really go public with good coffee. And so I thought, I'm just going to invest in this company because I don't just drink coffee. I put an IV in my arm for caffeine. And so I bought 100, scooped everything I had, bought 100 shares of this. Now, what I wouldn't know is that over the next decade or so, it would split 5 times. So your 100 shares now is 500 shares. And if you look at it now, I think it's up to $90-some a share. So it just went crazy. It dropped for a while, and then it went up. And when Anna and I bought our first house, I sold those shares, and I only have one regret today. You know what it is? I didn't buy more. Let's say you drink 3 cups of coffee a week at Starbucks. So if you take a look at that 3 times a week, just 3 times a week at Starbucks, you go a year, it'll be an investment of about $520. That's what you will have invested in Starbucks to drink this caffeine. But instead of the $520 to do this, let's say you took that same $520 in the beginning of Starbucks and invested it into the company, the whole thing into the company. Instead of getting a caffeine rush or an ulcer, you invest that into Starbucks. And if you would have done that today, Starbucks would hand you a check for $46,934. Just for $520. Do you remember when Apple first came out, they used to have the Mac Classic computer. It would be, you could buy one for $1,500. But let's say instead of buying a Mac Classic for $1,500, that would be obsolete in 2 years. You'd have to throw it away. Take that same $1,500, you invested it into Apple. Do you know that today they would hand you back a check for $98,606? The difference between consuming a little bit, God bless me, and investing everything you have in the kingdom. Do you remember Best Buy? You just sell Sony Walkmans. How many of you know what a Sony Walkman is? Yeah, you're old. I don't remember that. I use MP3s today, but that's okay. But they would sell you a Sony Walkman for $200. Now, you could take a little bit of that and say, woohoo, I got it all, which would be obsolete as a little cassette recorder after a while. But if you would have taken that same $200 and invested it, they would hand you a check today for $36,343. Walmart. Back then, they would sell a toaster for $1,500. I mean, $15, that's a big toaster. That'll toast your house. $15 for a toaster. If you would have taken that, instead of buying a toaster, you invested that in Walmart, today they'd just hand you a check for $30,403. You see, back here, if I only knew about Starbucks, back here, if I only knew about Apple, if I knew, I would have sold everything I could have to buy into this, because I knew it was going to skyrocket because someone told me. Well, I want you to know that someone has an inside line on something, and I want you to know that the kingdom of God is going to skyrocket. That God is going to give you not a 5-time split, 30, 60, 100-fold. And if you'll give your life to Christ, the scripture says the Father will give you the kingdom. I'll upgrade your life, not just a little bit, not just a teeny bit, but I'm going to upgrade you from death and hell to life in heaven, to guilty as charged, from guilty as charged to paid in full. Man, I tell you, that is an upgrade, and that is an investment you don't want to miss. God is telling us, and Jesus himself is saying, let me tell you, trade your old baggage in for God's best, because he's here to give us a greater life. He paid the price, but the choice now is yours. He made his 2,000 years ago. Can I encourage you, make yours today. He brought you here to remind you that he has so much more for you. You let Jesus change your life forever. And I promise you that what you see now ain't nothing compared to what he has in store for you.
You've just heard a message entitled A Greater Life by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Now for Pastor Wayne, here's a promise to take with you. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for them that love him. Until next time, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
Hi, this is Wayne Cadero. There's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.